Bruchem Abayim to the second in the series of Shiurim on the Chavdama of the Ramban to his Perish and Bereshis and to the entire Chumash. Last time we concluded, based upon a reading of the Ramban, that the Ramban has created three axioms, three principles, upon which my claim is that one can understand really both the theology and methodology of the Ramban's commentary on the Chumash. The first two principles appear, I mean, now using the Rabbi Shavel's edition, Rabbi Shavel's Chazak Levracha, and Daf Beis, the Ramban makes two statements. One statement is Ramban says that the Torah was Kodmo L'Briyas HaOlam. He might, in fact, be saying this about Bereishis only, but I think that, in fact, we'll see that this contention is actually going to apply to every part of the Chumash. The second axiom of the Ramban is that Moshe Rabbeinu is Kesefer Hamadik V'Sefer Kadmoi, that the Chumash is, in fact, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu in the way that a scribe copies it. I'm not sure what copying means. Moves it. Matik is to move something. They make something move from a Sefer Kadmoi, from an earlier Sefer. The Ramban brings the Yerushalmi, which according to my Girsa is first. The Girsa Yerushalmi is certainly what I'm saying, but my Girsa, my contention is the Girsa Ramban should be that the Torah was first given white smoke on black, and then afterwards black smoke on white. And then these two axioms appear in Daf Beis in the Shevel edition. And finally, in Daf Vav the Shevel edition, the Ramban says, Oy yes biyadeinu kabbalah shel emes. You know, kabbalah shel emes, that ki kol ha-Torah kula shmeisim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah constitutes names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban elaborates on this, and finally, at the very end of the first paragraph from Dav Zayin, in the Shevel edition, the Ramban says, "V'nitna lo Moshe Rabbeinu al derech chiluk kriyas hamitzvos, v'nimtza lo al peh kriyas b'shema." Somehow the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in a way in which we could actually ascertain words and sentences and grammar and diktuk. That's called the kriyas hamitzvos, but the underlying phonology or morphology of the Chumash, which is names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was meisir this bial peh. He, in fact, actually transmitted this bial peh. And the Ramban, of course, identifies this with the Kabbalah, which has its source in tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what I'd like to do is I want to actually focus on this third principle and discuss it, because I think in this third principle, of course, combined with the other two principles, we're going to see really how the Ramban understood not only the Chumash, but the events in the Chumash, Jewish history, and the nature of reality. Now, when does the Ramban make use of Shemas Hashem? So, in fact, actually, the Ramban does this in several places. In Shmois, and by the way, very important before I begin, the Ramban is Miksha Achas, it's one Sefer. It wasn't written by two authors, only one author, and you see that the Sefer 2, he refers to what he says at the beginning and the end. That's very important. In other words, Ramban, it's not the Ramban wrote his Perush Chumash at different times in his life, and even if he did, certainly was edited all at one time. The Ramban is really Miksha Achas, it's homogeneous, and it's really what you would say, Oni B'Mokom Echad and Oshim B'Mokom Acher. The Ramban in Shmois, in Perak Vav, Pasuk Beis, at the beginning of Seder Va'era, on the Pasuk Vayadav Elokim El Moshe, so the Ramban speaks about the, what does it mean to say, So the Ramban discusses that. He brings the different mafarshim. He brings Rashi, and he brings Ibn Ezra. At the end, the Ramban says on Daf Shin Dalet. Once again, I'm referring to the pages in the Shevel edition. On Daf Shin Dalet, the second line says, "V'nei Omer Elokim LaMoshe, נראיתי לו אובס בכוח יודי, אשר אני שיידד בו המזולס ואיזם לבחירה. In other words, I appear to the obvious in a way in which I can overcome the mazalos, which means we can overcome Teva, the natural world. Habishmi shayutke asher boinena kolavaya, nihya kolavaya. But with my name of Yutke Vavke, with which everything was created, lo nidati lehem, levoi lehem chadashis. I didn't appear to them, I was not known to them, that I could actually do miracles which completely which change nature, change natural order. Bishin Yaptoidis that all of them is Hashem, but to deal him Pamachas Hashem Agodok, Yiboy Ami Oisimam Lahafli, Vyodok Yani Hashem Kod. In other words, Ushmiya Hashem Ladatilahem means we speak about revelation. I didn't reveal myself to the others Byodke Vovke. Right? And that's what the Bible goes on and says. And the revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei is connected with the type of miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu does as opposed to the miracles which are done to the Yavos. And the Bible goes on and says, after a few lines, Al Derech HaEmes, Ba'akosik Kepshutu Ba'Shvasik, when it says that, you're referring to the next part, Yoyimer Ani Hashem, Nir Lehem Basim Kloya, Shel Kel Shaddai, Ketam Bamara Ela Bezvada, In other words, Shmiya Shalandati Lehem means two things. Well, Abidach HaEmet, Shmiya Shalandati Lehem means the Nevuah with which I appear to Moshe Rabbeinu is Nevuah as Mekloi HaMe'ira, that the Gemara says Yavon is from Tesla Mabeis. And that's called Parab upon him, and that's the Nevuah of Yudke Vavke. The Nevuah with which I appear to Avraham Avinu is a Nevuah of Kel Shakai, Aleph Dalet. Kel Shakai, the Nevuah of Aleph Dalet. So in other words, the difference between the Avos and between Moshe Rabbeinu is revelation. And revelation is defined in terms of Shemes Hashem. The revelation, Panim El Panim, Asperim Oyer, Ami'ira, as it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, is associated with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. The revelation with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Avos is associated with the Shem Alef Dalet. Now, so in other words, the Rabban learns of the Pasuk is that the revelation of the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu is a revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Avos is the Kel Shakai. So, we see in the Rabban is identifying the revelation to the different types of revelations with Shemas Hashem, names of God. In addition, the Ramban makes another statement, the previous statement the Ramban made, is that the Ramban is also identifying the type of nes, which Nisim that were witnessed at different periods, Nisim witnessed by the Avos, which the Ramban says in another place, he says that's called a nes nista, because even though the Avos were able, they had tremendous siyata d'shmaya, the Nisim were Nistorim, there was no fundamental change in the laws of nature. And these are Nisim that are associated with the Shem Hashem, Kel Shakai. Whereas the Nisim that are done during the time of Shabbeinu are associated with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is B'ya Yishmiyayim. Okay, and that's the Ramban's Loshen, Ramban when he speaks about Neis Nigla, the Neis Nista, in several places, and Galatius. The Rabban speaks about it, I believe it's in Perek Mem Zayin, in Parshas Vayigash, right? There the Rabban in Pasuk Tezvav speaks about the notion of Neis Nista. And that Neis Nista is not a Neis of B'yish Ba'ayin, it's a Neis of Teva. Masha'in Kain, the Rabban, at the end of Parshas Boy, famous Rabban, who speaks about those people, what's called Amuna in Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. So there, the Ramban speaks about the Nisim are in the hierarchy of B'yei Shmi'ayin, and that Ramban appears at the very end of Shemois, of Boyin Shemois, which is Perek Gimel Pasuk Tezayin, Dibu Hamaskil Lototafes Beninecha. So we have clearly in the Ramban, of course, is connecting them, but it doesn't make, in other words, he speaks about them in the same vein. Rabban speaks about the revelation to Moshe Rabbeinu as a revelation of Yudkei Vavkei. The revelation to the Avos is a revelation of Aleph Dalet. Kel Shakai, Aleph Dalet. The Nisim that were done by Moshe Rabbeinu were Nisim of Yudkei Vavkei. And that's Buya Yesh Mi'ayim. The Nisim that were done to the Avos were done the Shem Shekel Shakai. So we see in the Ramban that the Ramban is making a parallel between revelation in terms of names of God, and the Ramban is also making a parallel between Nisim, miracles, as opposed to Teva, as opposed to natural order, in terms of names of God. That's what we see in the Ramban. So we have this very, very important parallel in the Ramban. Okay. Now, we have to actually think, what is the Ramban doing?
Okay.
What is the Ramban doing? In other words, the Ramban is saying, once again, is that there are two types of revelations that refer to two types of names of God. In fact, actually, these are actually names of God. There's the Ramban. It's a very, very fundamental Ramban. You know, when I say fundamental Ramban, it's a funny word to use, because just about every Ramban is fundamental. But in Parshish Yisroel, in Perek Yotes, Pasuk Chav, Vayegel Hashem al Ahav. So what does it mean? Hashem descended on Har Sinai. So Ramban says, in Taskel B'Parsh, Shatov, and Kishmei HaGodol Yoram, it says Ramban, Hashem 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 al Har Sinai. V'shochen Allah be'esh, and dwelt upon it in fire. V'umedaver in Moshe, and spoke with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'adib in Moshe, b'chol ha'parsha b'shem ha'myuchad v'aliyah. It's here in the class, Mokem HaKovid. Basically, said Ramban, what was Har Sinai? Har Sinai was Mamad Har Sinai was a giver of Yud Kei Vavkei. And that's the revelation of the Torah at Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the deed of Moshe Rabbeinu is through Yudke Lovke, that's Parak Yutas Pasukhov. So, we have here clearly, and the Rabban says this too, Moshe Rabbeinu, Esther Kodesh Baruch Hu, in Parashat Shemot, what name should I tell the Jewish people, what name should I say, Klal Yisrael? And this is in Parashat Shemot, in Parak Yutas Pasukhov, V'omali Mashimot, they ask me, the rest of me, what's your name? So the Ramban goes on. This is Reis Tzadok Aleph in the Shevel edition. The Torah will never give Shem Kel Shakai. Haniska Bavos, which is mentioned in the Avos. Rak Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'olam. Rak Kevavkei, which is going to create the world. Yevavkei. So, Abaisai. Let's create these parallelisms. We have two forms, two modes of the Lord. Is the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, which is associated with Yudkei Vavkei. There's the Nevuah Ha'avos, which is associated with Kel Shakai. That's Nevuah, that's parallel number one. Parallel number two, we have Nisim. We have the Nisim Gulim, the Nisim type of Nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are Nisim of Yudkei Vavkei, Riyash Nayim. And then we have Nisim that occurred during the Avos, which is in this Talmud, the Ramban says several places. I mentioned one, is also the Ramban speaks about in Perek Yud Zayin, in Parshas Lech Lecha. Those Nisim begin the Yud Kei Vavkei. That's what Ramban said. And then Ramban, of course, speaks about Yesh Mi'ayin, as opposed to Yesh Mi'yesh. Now, what connects these two, how are these two concepts connected? And that's question number one, how they're connected. And how they're connected, number two, and what's the significance of this connection? What is the chiddush of the Ramban? We all sense it's a chiddush of the Ramban. The Ramban is saying things that were not said before. What's the chiddush of the Ramban? Well, it seems to me that things are connected in a very obvious way. Because the Torah is ultimately Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means, when we look at the Torah, we're not looking at something which is unilayered. Look at something which is multi-layered. In other words, But the Ramban speaks about Nisan and revelations and being Shemesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The source of this is really in the text of the Torah itself. I mean, the Ramban speaks about this when he writes in his commentary on the text of the Torah. And the text of the Torah itself is multi-layered. The text of the Torah contains different layers. There's the layer in which we see events. And these events, which are reported by the Torah, report to us different ontologies. There are the ontologies of Moshe Rabbeinu, which are the Nisim Geluyim. The ontologies of the Avos, which are Nisim Nistarim. And what underlies these ontologies is a string theory, a particle theory, quarks of Shemesh of Hashem. And Nisim Nistarim is just one type of relationship between the underlying ontology of the underlying text of the Chumash, which is Shel Kakai, to the sentences of the Chumash itself. And Nisim Geluyim is just another type of morphology of the Chumash, where the words, the sentences, the accounts of the Chumash come from an underlying text of Yudkei Vavkei. So what the Ramban has done is Ramban has created an incredible parallelism between the text of the Chumash, the underlying levels of the Chumash, and between revelation and between events in Nisan and history. That's what Ramban has done.
When Ramban says this, this is a basic question. When Ramban says that the Torah is names of God, he means the name of Yudkei Vavkei.
No, different names of God. I'm going to claim Kel Shakai, Yudkei Vavkei, different names of
all
God.
All the names of
God. All the names. The Shemus Hashem.
So,
the Shem, but ultimately, and ultimately the Ramban might argue that all Shemus Hashem only come from Yudkei Vavkei. But what I'm saying is that no, he means different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, he says explicitly Shemayim Benis. The different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that even in the Kabbalah, different names come from Yudkei Vavkei. For example, you can write Yudkei Vavkei in four ways, and that corresponds to Shemus of different gematrias, which is known, I mean, I don't know the Kabbalah, but I understand the Kabbalah identify what's called Miloy of the Shemus in Apsad Ma'an Pen, and we know that these are the gematrias 72, 63, 45, and 52. And in other words, this actually, basically defines all of spiritual reality. So what I'm saying is that what the Ramban is saying is that ultimately, the Ramban is making this unbelievable connection between the text of the Chumash as we read it, as it corresponds to events in the physical world, and between the underlying morphology of the text, which is Shemesh Hashem. This is an example, if it's sunny, so one type of string is moving. If it's dark, another type of string is moving. So in other words, that's what the Ramban is doing. The Ramban has created this text, which is multi-layered, but it's not just two layers that have nothing to do with each other. There's actually the way the text on a macroscopic level, on a word sentence level, right, is read, is really determined by the underlying letter structure, which is names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Ramban is saying. And the Ramban is making this tripod, I was going to say trilogy, but, trilogy is fine as well.
Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah. I don't want to say anything else. But the Ramban is making this tripartite relationship between ontology, which is, I'm saying, historical ontology, which is Nisim Geluyim, Nisim Nistarim, and between different types of revelation, and between the underlying mechanism, different types of mechanisms, which bring out different, what you call, Pshutei HaMikra in the text itself. So this is the Chiddush of the Ramban. Now, what I want to claim today is that we see, so this is what the Ramban is doing. And I'm just going to do this actually even more so. I say today is a trilogy, but actually we're going to increase that mitzvah next week and see that there's other consequences of what the Ramban is doing. Now, what I want to speak about is where is he coming from and where is he going? Where are we coming from? Where is he coming from? Where are we going? I want to claim that the Ramban represents a certain milestone in Jewish intellectual history. What is that milestone? We spoke about HaShkafaCircle.com, the momentous change of paradigm from, we've actually identified between priori and postari. And that was the introduction, or at least the possibility, introduction of immanence. I'm not taking sides on how to interpret the Ahri. But clearly, if we look at the medieval Jewish philosophers that could be the most rational, which is the Ramban, but people consider to be less rational and safer, which is the Kuzari, there's no concept of immanence. Spiritual things are in fact not immanent in the physical world. They're either disconnected or there's a loose connection, but they're separate. They belong to two domains. And that's, I think, we've spoken about that. This is a Rishima magazine, you could read an article I wrote about this. This is what characterizes thought, not even rational thought, philosophical, but even Kabbalistic thought, kiviyachol, for the Ahri. In the Ahri, and those, and his interpreters, and those who came after him, to explain him, to elaborate upon him, we have a concept of immanence, that the physical world, in fact, becomes spiritual.
They can listen to the Shir
Mikra. Right. We're talking about the Hashkafa Zakhal. Hashkafa.com is filled with this. The Asar called Mother God. And many places we've spoken about this. Shima Magazine. I get Hashkafa Circle.com. But I claim, you know, and the Ahri says this, that a paradigm is not necessarily a discontinuity and break. There's always a type of intermediate. And I want to claim, what was the intermediate between rationalist thought, which posits a dichotomy between the physical and the spiritual, and immanence? So I want to claim that Ramban represents a type of an intermediate. But what type of immanence? I don't believe there's immanence in the Ramban. I know you're going to say to me, Pasha's boy, everything is nice and this, that's not what Ramban means. Whoever understands Ramban knows that's absolutely not what he means. But I claim that the Ramban reduced what I want to call textual immanence. The Ramban took names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, names of God, and put them in the text. And the Ramban is what's called textual immanence. In other words, spirituality for the Ramban was not imminent, but it represented different layers of reality which are connected to each other. It represented geometrical objects with surfaces, a sphere of n dimensions with a surface of n minus one dimension. As opposed to the Ramban, which means two separate spheres with some type of connection between them which we're not sure what it is. But in the Ramban, what the Ramban did is the Ramban bridged the two independent spherical approaches of the Ramban. We have two separate spheres. And the immanentesis, in which there actually is one, it's a tam like this, tam ki ikka. And the Ramban, what the Ramban did, the Ramban's Derech was actually a sphere, where the actual sphere, let's say, is, well, we can say the outer part of the sphere is the physical world, that's the ending of this one dimension, and the n-dimensional sphere is the Shemes Hashem. So in other words, they're separate but attached. And the Ramban did this in an ingenious way, in a brilliant way, by what's called textual immanence. Textual immanence is the means by which the Ramban was able to come out with an explanation of history, historical events, was it even science? An account of the real world where the notion of immanence is in fact actually an immanence in the text of the Torah, of the Holy Torah. That was the Ramban's chiddush. That's Ramban's important chiddush. And this notion of textual immanence is really what the Ramban is saying now. Now, I want to go further. That's the, I would call the philosophical, or theological, the philosophical chiddush of the Ramban. However, our claim is a theological chiddush of the Ramban. When we mean philosophical chiddush of the Ramban, I'm speaking about ontology, the nature of reality. However, every ontology in traditional Jewish thinking carries with it a theology. Which means the purpose of Jewish philosophy is to define what's supposed to be not supposed to believe. People forget this. People who learn the Megillah Bulchan think the Rambam is just creating a philosophy. No. The Rambam is creating a philosophy, an account, a philosophical account of Judaism, right? Which creates the boundaries of faith, what it's supposed to believe and not believe. Right? Every Jewish thinker, that's the difference between a Jewish book about philosophy and about Judaism, right? So, written by, who was a famous writer? Leo Strauss, and his father, his wife's book, his famous book, what's his book on? Everyone knows why. Forget about it. Anyway, so Strauss wrote a good philosophy. What does it mean? Creating a Judaism. What's that? In a book. That's a book. Create a moment. Now, a moment is made from what I call textual immanence and the tripartite relationship between textual immanence and revelation and between the ontology of historical events, namely Nissen in Jewish history. So I claim that the Ramban understood that this was an issue of emunah, of faith. And mi kamoisai, where does the Ramban elaborate this or state this? If not, at the end of Parshas Bo'i, I already referenced Parshas Bo'i, which he speaks about the Nisim Moshe Rabbeinu, a Nisim that were done, the Agui Yeshmi'ayin. But the Ramban says, and Parshas Bo'i, this is Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tazayin. Diba Amatchil Tetofes Bereinecha. And there the Ramban says in Siman Shin Mem Zayin, in the Shavel's edition,
page
Shin Mem Zayin, 347. Then the Ramban says, and he says, Umin Amisim Agadaylim Ufusamim. And from the Nisim Agadaylim, Nisim, which everybody is seeing, the Mufusam. Other minded Nisim and Nistarim, a person's mind is Nistarim, which we're explaining was Nisim and Nistarim. That's textual immanence. That's the level of the text, which are names of God, which determine the nature of the reference of text itself. She'ein Yisoid HaTeira Kula. She'ein La'odam Chelek B'Teiras Mesh Rabbeinu. A person has no Chelek in terms of Mesh Rabbeinu. Am She'namin B'chol Devarenu. Umikreinu She'kulam Nisim Ein Be'em Teva. Minhagu Shal Oilam Ben Barabim Ben B'yofin. Rabbi does not say that there's no Teva. The Rabban is saying is, if you don't believe in textual immanence and the trilogy of relationship between which has its basis in this textual immanence, right? Not that ontological immanence. It's textual immanence. If you don't believe in textual immanence, which is the basis of the distinction between Nisim and Star, when there is a Teva in the world, and Nisim and Fusamim, then in fact you don't have a chelek in Teiras Moshe Rabbeinu, which means if you're not learning the Chumash correctly, then you don't understand Judaism correctly. If you're not understanding the Chumash properly, if you don't understand the Chumash properly, then it's impossible that you could have the proper theology in the nature of Jewish history and the relationship of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Klal Yisrael and to the world. And that's what I'm about to say. And that's Teiras Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, this is the this relationship, this tripod trilogy, which has its focus in the immanence of the text, this amunah is something which we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rabban says in Daf Zayin Mishpel's edition, at the end of the first paragraph, I recorded it. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, the text of the Torah as we see it. It's a text that we can read, but there are sentences and nouns and verbs. But this underlying structure was Nimsa B'Yalpeh, and this is what the Ramban refers to throughout his Perush on the Chumash as Kabbalah Shel Emes. Kabbalah Shel Emes is not something that the Ramban made up, but it was something that was Nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see clearly that the Chumash refers to this, Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lahem, Vayeled Hashem Hal Sinai. Ramban says, you can see that this is clearly, the Chumash is referring to this. Okay, so what we have here is really based upon the third axiom, which, by the way, Delach Akav is related to the first axiom. Because what the Ramban is saying is that this relationship between the third act and first axiom, namely, that the text of the Chumash, which is the third axiom, reflects upon the ontology of the world. Namely, the Torah perceived the world. It doesn't mean literally that Chaim HaLosh understood that there is a halach which determines reality, but rather is that the way we look is a parallelism between the third axiom and the first axiom. It is the way the Torah is structured, the morphology of the Torah, the text of the Torah, the way it's structured, parallels the relationship, the reality of the world, which is what? Which is in fact actually the Torah perceiving the world. So in other words, we could say that just like the n-dimensional structure of the names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu determines the bound, the n-1 textual boundary of the Torah, which is the verbs and sentences which you read in the Torah, and this is parallel to the relationship of the Torah in the world, where the Torah is the n-dimensional manifold, and the world is the n-1 boundary of the world. That, in fact, is what the Ramban is saying. It's not immanence, but it's not two distinct spheres, but rather it's a relationship between what one would call the n-dimensional manifold and sphere and its n-1 boundary. That's really the Yisod of the Ramban.
It's not immanence because it's not God and God, it's Torah in the world?
It's Torah, relationship to Torah, it is a parallel between the Torah and the world itself.
It's not any, I mean, but it's not two spheres, it's not a parallel.
Right.
So the Torah is in the world, or the world is in the Torah.
The levels of the Torah are parallel by the layers of the world.
So then why is that immanent? That's not...
Because we're not saying that the physical has words of God in it. The physical is something separate, but it's connected to a spirituality. In other words, immanence means it's all one.
And the alternative, Rambam would say that God is really separate.
That's what Rambam is saying. Okay, this is something that I want you to think about and reflect upon it. But actually, this is actually a Hagdama to Ramban al Chumash. And actually, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to actually go on in the next year and speak how Ramban uses the concept, the second axiom. What's the second axiom? That's interesting. So what is the second axiom fulfill? What is the purpose of the second axiom? And that's going to be the subject of the next year on this Hagdama of the Ramban to Bereishis and the Chumash in general. Until then, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, call to and have a good week.